Hello and welcome back to another episode of the IFC's When Destiny Calls podcast. My name is James Malamas. We've got a great episode for you. We join Dr. Lahab Al-Samri and Christy Foster again for our first episode of 2023. From everyone at the IFC, we hope you had a fun and safe holiday. We kick off season four, this time going over The Resolution of the Glitch, a book written by both Dr. Al-Samri and Christy. It's a great discussion, and we can't wait for you to hear it. If you enjoy the IFC's When Destiny Calls podcast and want to support, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. Al-Samri, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of When Destiny's Call. I'm Dr. Lahab Al-Samri, and this is Christy Foster. And so today we thought we talk a little bit about JEMP and the Resolution of the Glitch, the book that we co-authored. Christy, how are you today?
Doing great. Got up to a lot of snow this week in Salt Lake City. We have almost a foot at our house of snow, and it's beautiful. Getting ready for Christmas. We're very close to Christmas, and it feels that way now. Great, because we've needed the water.
So it's the holidays, and we're looking forward to the holidays. So let's talk about the holidays. So just in case anybody doesn't have a gift yet, I'm going to be a little shameful. You can order the book and give it as a gift. Now, we're going to talk about the book. So, Christy, any thoughts today?
Well, I'm excited to talk about the book. I think the book encompasses so much of different questions people have about how to get out of mental loops that they get in, how to change patterns of thinking so they're more positive, feeling less stuck in the world. I think that's a universal challenge for everyone. And the book is an amazing map to get through that maze.
So, okay. That's a good start. Let's do that. Let's talk about the map. On chapter 9, we talk about generational trauma. And I want to read this short paragraph from chapter 9 on page 102. Some illnesses are noted as being hereditary, but it's not 100% guaranteed that because your mother had a certain illness, you will too. Your mind is a powerful thing. And when you program it to believe something, it will come to be. Whether the familiar trauma is emotional or physical, don't take it on as some form of inheritance. Generational trauma is commonly centered around abuse or adverse childhood experiences, which are passed down from one generation to another. We've touched on this concept several times throughout the book, but we will now expand in further detail, and we'll be starting with a very important question. Who's at risk of generational trauma? So then we go into anyone whose ancestors experienced war, natural disaster, widespread racism and segregation, catastrophes of any kind. Anyone with parents who were abused, anyone who grew up in a home with substance abusers, anyone raised with harsh discipline, which was incorrectly seen as the norm for their parents' generation, anyone who was abandoned or moved through the foster care system, and so on and so forth. These are just certain ways of seeing trauma and how trauma affects us. So throughout the book, what we try to do is try to understand trauma and try to understand JAMP as a treatment for trauma. How do we recognize and release the trauma? Why are we holding on to it? Why is it important to us? What does it give us? What type of value does it have for us? Does it hold?
Dr. Mahab,
go on, Christy.
What I've seen in my practice is it's sometimes challenging to even be aware that there is trauma or that there has been trauma. We're talking about it as if people are aware that that's what is keeping them stuck. And I would say a higher percentage is the unaware piece or the blind spot that trauma's created.
Yes. So the
recognizing it.
The generation that says this type of abuse is okay because this is what was practiced on us.
Yes.
Is the problem. Right.
Yes, because that isn't the word used. Abuse. That's how my parents were. My kids are the same way. They need to buck up. There's all these different little phrases that I hear, which is the blind spot of abuse behind that phrase.
Yeah, and becomes a rationalization and a reinforcement of the abuse, right?
Yeah.
It reinforces the code that it's okay to be abused. Because your grandparents got it, you should take it happily. Why are you saying you're different? Yeah. So nobody should be abused. My grandparents shouldn't have got it. And I shouldn't get it because my parents or grandparents got it. It's not okay. So that's one of several things that we talk about. And when we talk about how it embeds itself in our daily life, the trauma has a special place, right? It takes up a lot of room. It spreads out. It doesn't stay compartmentalized to what happened or an idea or a thought. It's disassociated and it's running amok throughout your system in pieces. It's not running amok as a whole. You're not getting the whole picture. You're just getting pieces of it, right? So it expands. It takes up a lot of room in your life. It takes up
one of the ways, yeah, and how I see trauma show up in my practice is through skin issues, psoriasis, pretty severe eczema, rashes, irritable bowel, digestive issues. Is accumulated, sometimes family trauma and accumulated, or there's been an event that's happened, but it's those that are showing up physically in people's bodies. Ooh. From years and years of a way of being or responding to everyday life.
Yes. So it ends up holding space where you don't think of space being held.
And shows up in our bodies. I think the number one indicator for most people is they start to not feel well. Headaches, insomnia. The list is so long for unresolved trauma.
And a lot of people don't associate it with trauma.
No, they don't.
They don't associate these long-term nagging issues as emotionally connected, emotionally triggered events. That the body starts to, that the body has been imprinted on. So when the trauma occurs, the body takes the imprint of the trauma. So even if you didn't suffer physical pain, the body remembers the physical feeling state of your fear. So how that felt in the body, how the body digested that.
That's exactly how that happened.
So that is the parts of the trauma that we forget. We think it's a physical ailment. I hurt my shoulder when I was carrying this box. No. You probably strained your shoulder for sure, but That's not the reason the shoulder kept hurting. Just remember what happened that day during carrying that box. Just remember your emotional state that day. Just remember how your emotional state is contributing to your pain. Because if you're not in the right place, if you are thinking negatively about your life or your situation or your kids or your relationships or your lovers or your partners or your cat or your dog, doesn't matter, then there will be negative outcomes.
In the book, we talk about the psychic prison and those patterns of thinking. That's kind of where I'm tying that in. We get so used to a certain way that it becomes our own prison without being aware that that's that we hold the keys to moving out of that.
Yeah, the more we live it, the more we go through it, the more we start to think it's normal. We normalize it. And so as we normalize these things, they start to become a part of our daily routine in the invisible prison. They become part of us. You know, it's like, oh, I'll have a coffee for me and I'll have a coffee for my trauma this morning. What are we doing together? And I wish it was a happy-go-lucky relationship between the two. It's not. The disassociated material needs to be reassociated, reconnected, reintegrated, filed away.
Okay. Could you talk about or give an explanation of disassociated material? What does that mean?
Well, it's very simple. If you're standing in front of something and something happens and your friend goes, "Did you see that? That was really bad. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see it." No. Did you see that? Did you see that screaming, the yelling, the person who just passed away? And I was like, nope, didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, part of it could be like people might think that's glib. It's actually not. It's disassociated. It's like, well, I can see that. It's not that I didn't see it. It's my mindset. I can't handle it. I can't take it. So let's file it away. File it far away. And it's not filed. It's kind of floating out there. It comes and goes.
And how does it show up, Dr. Mahat, within you?
It shows up
in your practice. How do you see that?
Well, it shows up in different ways. It shows up in my ability to go to certain parts of the city. Because I don't know why I can't go to certain parts of the city, but there are intersections that remind me of that intersection. So I can't go to certain parts of the city. So now, geographically, I've cut off myself, right? Because there are certain parts I can't go to because I'm worried about they're going to trigger me, right? But it's not a logical fear. It's not like, well, you know, who cares about, but I don't like to be in this side of the city, right? It's too much for me. I can't deal with it. So I'm going to stay away. The problem is it's too much. I can't deal with it. That becomes a consuming voice. That voice will start to terrorize you. It won't let you go anywhere anymore. Because it's an expanding voice. It's not a small voice. Because what is it? It's what is the emotional tone of it? It's fear.
Yeah.
And the more we give in to fear, we know this, the more it expands. Yesterday, I was just afraid and I was just washing my hands. Now I'm washing my hands and feet. Now I'm checking every lock. Now I can't leave the house. Now I can't leave my room. Now I have to have people deliver my food in front of my door. And I have to make sure they go away for 30 minutes before I go get it. Well, yeah, fear takes over. Fear is expanding.
Oh, that's one example of fear. Another example is just the opposite, which is more aggression.
It can be.
People get more aggressive versus fearful.
Yeah, so my fear, so we're talking about the our defense mechanisms, right? So if I am overwhelmed with fear and I think I'm on the verge of being terrorized, then I act out from that. From that fear, I act out in rage. Why am I afraid? Why are you making me afraid? You're making me afraid. We see that with clients. You're making me afraid. And they tell people who are closest to them, the people who care about them, the people who, you know, sacrifice a lot to be with them. But yeah, so that becomes the rage. I'm afraid it's your fault. So trauma works in different ways. We know that trauma, early childhood trauma, with, of course, other ingredients like control, emotional terror, physical safety issues where the person doesn't feel physically safe in the household, controlling of food or emotional content from the child, holding that child. That you basically are creating a monster within this child, and you're nourishing that monster of fear into a very, very scary thing. So that fear will build up until the child acts out through aggression. And that fear is self-perpetuating because it is housed in the complex. So the complex generates its own energy.
Could you give us a definition of the complex? So
the complex is what happens when is what contains the traumatic event. So each traumatic event is contained by a complex. The archetypal material that we are all held together by the archetypal energy. That archetypal energy sends a bunch of bubbles of itself to wrap around these issues that arise. These bubbles are complexes. This energy is meant to contain this piece that doesn't fit, that needs to fit back.
So not only do those bubbles, they show up in the psyche, they're showing up in the body.
Correct.
As a rash, for example, or hives.
Correct. Because they're not
hives that won't go away.
Because they're not physically located, right? This is an energy. It's an energy source. It's not physically located. But if you locate a pain during that emotional trigger in your body, that pain will be connected to the emotional trigger. It'll be associated with that emotional trigger. And so, yeah, as soon as I do this, this will happen. Therefore, I've created it. You know, we talked about manifesting in one of our episodes. This is how you manifest stuff. you start to create, the fear becomes a reality of itself. You've created it, of course. I've had people who say, I know I created it, but they don't know how to uncreate it. They know how they created it, but they don't know how to uncreate it. So these are the things that end up controlling us. The fear starts to control us because the fear has seeped out.
So Dr. Mahab, in your practice of how many years have you been a psychotherapist?
Well, I was a psychotherapist for a very long time. Since I've been doing JAMP, I'm more of a coach than a psychotherapist. I practice as a coach because it's very different than psychotherapy. I was a psychotherapist for over 20 years.
But in that 20 years, you see people, it's like just comparing when you see someone for trauma, about like on average, how long does that take for someone to clear a traumatic event from their childhood?
Well, that would take years. Usually take 4 or 5 years to clear the event.
Why does it take that long?
Because you are going into the complex and the complex is being charged up and you can't calm the body because it's psychotherapy. It's a talk therapy. So you're talking, you try to calm the person by letting them know that they're in a safe space, that everything they say is confidential, that when they talk about these things, that they're ultimately going to feel better. And that this is the way out of the darkness is by putting light into it, right? So, but the process is going up a mountain. So you start going up the mountain and your 50-minute hour is up. And once your 50-minute hour is up, you have to hold that whatever you talked about for a week before you start it up again. Now, you can't hold it for a week. It's already triggered you, it's already irritated you, it's already, oh, I was in therapy today and it didn't feel good. So the next week you come in, you go do it all over again. Why? Because you are stuck in a repetitive cycle because the complex has taken hold and you keep complaining of the same thing. So even if the therapist doesn't want to go into it, because they've gone into it like 100 times and they don't seem to be getting anywhere. The fact of getting somewhere is always incremental. It's a war of attrition. It's I take an inch and then you push me back 6 inches and then I take another inch and then you push me back 4 inches. And so sooner or later, I'm going to make some headway. I'm going to move forward. But that remains years of work, and you have to be on the same page, and the person has to be able to afford the treatment, has to be present in the treatment, and has to be able to go through the difficulty of the treatment. So that's
I think the difficulty too, and when I started learning JAMP with you, and what I've seen it in the work that I've done is, and maybe attachment isn't the right word, identification with the story and what happened. And every time I tell it, my body reminds me that that's true. And I'm not invalidating any of that. What I'm saying is, it becomes almost like every time we tell a story and the body responds again, that's where that block comes in, because we can't get out of our own way. And JAMP kind of scrambles that a little bit.
Yes. So the first thing it does,
it surprises the complex, really.
The first thing it does is the hypnotic state. So the hypnotic state is not just bilateral eye movement, right? It's a continuous bilateral eye movement for for several minutes, and then it ends up being almost 90 minutes. So part of it is the hypnotic state. It's getting deeper and deeper into the unconscious. The further you go into the unconscious, it's almost, it's you're regressing into parts of you that your pain is hidden in. We were talking about it earlier, Christy. I was talking about a dungeon with many different rooms, many different floors. So if you think of the psyche, the self, how it's situated, how it's created, think of that there is several floors above ground. And then there are several floors below ground. And so one is closer to the sky and one is closer to the center of the earth. The more the thing is above ground becomes intolerable, the further they go below ground within this dungeon. And every once in a while, they break free and start haunting the house. They take over. We talk about it a lot. We say the complex possesses you. Right? And we've noticed this, you know, around Christmas time and the holidays, we start acting like our parents. The complex possesses you. Right? Because there's so many triggers. It's hard to not be triggered. There's tree, there's lights, everybody's talking about it, everybody's giving gifts, everybody's planning around it. Whether you like it or not, it's affecting you. No matter how much you're like, oh, I hate the holidays, there's a reason. You're basically saying, I hate to be possessed by the complex. Because that's what happens, right? Did I make enough food?
Oh, and everyone's around their family. A lot of people, and they wonder what. That's what I hear after that is, I don't know what happened, but I got so triggered. I don't know, and I don't know who that was. That's what I'll hear.
But they are triggered way before they see their families. The whole month is a trigger. The whole surrounding is a trigger. The sound is a trigger because they're anticipating the family. You don't really have to see them. You are in the complex way before you got there. By the time you get there, it's a done deal. It's like, yeah, whatever. But until you get there, you're like, I don't want to see them. This is a problem. They're gonna poke me. They're gonna trigger me. I'm gonna get angry. I'm gonna get upset. You already are. Become conscious that you are already triggered. You are triggered by everything around you. So you're already in the middle of the complex. Now you just have to be kinder to yourself. You have to think, do I want to treat myself badly? Do I want to talk to myself negatively? Do I want to get angry? How does this help? How does this serve me? How does this take care of me? How does this make me feel better? Because what happens is the prisoners in the dungeon are released on the holidays.
Yeah.
And they occupy the top floors. And they occupy, not for a short period, they occupy it for the month. So sometime after New Year's, a couple of days later, people emerge like they've been in the gallows. Because they have. Pieces of them that have been in the gallows, we're on furlough.
And those pieces are also referred to as shadow.
Those pieces are pieces of the unknown other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pieces. They're pieces of me that I don't know who they are. And when they show up, they scare the shit out of me because they do things that I never thought I could do or would do.
Do and say.
Or say. Or think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Lahop, when you developed the process of JAMP, what did you notice with your clients about getting out of that psychic prison? And a lot of people I know have been in counseling for many years, which is very helpful. But what did you notice with the different approach to that psychic prison or the maze, as it's called?
What I think is the first thing that happens is the body and the mind need to be in a meditative state. So the prolonged bilateral stimulation helps the hypnotic state get deeper and deeper. Within the hypnotic state, the body is relaxed. So now we could delve into pieces of the trauma that elicit a reaction from the body. So if we're talking about physical or sexual abuse, the body remembers there's an imprint, right? It's imprinted on the body. So the body has a reaction. When you're deep in the hypnotic state, and this is why we don't really get into it until 15 minutes in. We start to go in deeper into the psyche where they're able to access all these unknown others. They get to take a look at them and say, oh yeah, that's a piece of me when I was first abused. That's the first time I had that thought of killing this person. So suddenly these pieces start to be there and they're available for without menace, without fear. I'm able to talk to them. I'm able to talk about them. I'm able to reflect on them without them taking over me.
Because the body's calm and they don't have a panic attack. Talking about whatever that event is.
So because the body is calm enough at this point, that I can go into that area where in regular psychotherapy, you're just sitting on a couch and you're alert. As much as you're trying to be calm, you're alert. So part of it is that you have to feel safe and that's confidentiality, but it takes a while to get comfortable. With the hypnotic state, you can be comfortable within the first 5 to 15 minutes. You're deep within it. This is why we ask, it's like, how do you feel in your body? How does it feel? Do you feel any pain, any tightness, any irritation? Because what we're checking in on is how deep are you in the hypnotic state? That's what we're saying. How deep are you? How relaxed are you? The more relaxed you are, you should not have any nagging issues in your body. You shouldn't be aware of them. Even if you had them when you walked in, even when you sat down and started the treatment, even if you had them, they should not be interfering. If they are interfering, then they need to be addressed. They need to be treated. They need to be, we need to do a pain release cycle. So we need to do something to relieve that irritation, that pain, that anguish, because it will keep us from doing the work, which means getting deeper into the psyche and being able to lift material that is required for us to continue. Because what happens is over time, after having the trauma, is we are trapped in this maze. We are trapped by the pain. We are trapped by the fear. We're trapped by the anger. We're trapped by the disappointment. Because we've lost so much, right? Because we couldn't do so much because we've lost so much. Because we feel so much pain that we didn't go for that job. Or we didn't make that connection with that human being that we really liked. we ended up with our third or fourth choice. We really didn't feel like we deserved anything. We got stuck, or we became alone, or we feel like we're a disappointment to ourselves. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It's creation. My life is crap. Suddenly my life is crap. I've said it long enough that it's a reality now for me. I've created that reality. It's in my head. So even when I talk about it, huh?
That is the psychic prison.
Yes.
The awareness that we're in it and not being able to get out of a prison that has the door open, but we can't.
Absolutely.
We have, I think, a beautiful illustration of that. Not being able to get out and yet the door is open. Why can't I get out?
Yeah. Yeah.
And JAMP is fascinating in how it helps remove some of the fear about getting out first and foremost.
Because you are able to experience the disassociated fear. It goes through you because as you open more of these prison doors, what you're experiencing is that behind them lays a disassociated emotion and a disassociated thought. And these two fragments need to connect and touch you. And once they touch you, you feel the fear. And this is where we start to talk about, I am not afraid. This is why we say, I am not afraid over and over again.
Because how does the complex respond to, I am not afraid?
You shouldn't be afraid. It's there to protect you, right? The complex was created to protect you from the disassociated material, from the trauma.
So I remember in a few different sessions that I had done, I remember going through and saying, I'm not afraid, and really thinking, well, I really am afraid, and I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
So it began this little battle inside my head.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to fight it out, right?
Not little. It's always a bigger battle.
Yeah, you have to fight it out. You have to be able to stand up to it. Being
when
not
I
afraid.
After I do jab, it happens in my dreams of not being afraid.
Yes, because it's deep within the hypnotic state.
Yes, and then it shows further up in my dreams, like dream sleep.
Correct.
The other day I had a dream of a night terror I'd had for so long. And I remember being in the dream and I finally said to myself, Christy, this isn't real. Don't be afraid. Calm down. And whatever I did working through it. But that's what I noticed with JAMP is my dreams that used to disrupt me so much and scare me.
Yeah.
I am present in them in a different way.
Yes.
Without fear. That's a huge piece for me of getting out of the psychic prison. But I know other people could relate to are those dreams that don't make sense and full of fear. JAMP sessions helped change that so much in my daily life, but especially my nighttime dream state.
Well, it helps the ego integrate more and more material. The more material you integrate, the stronger your ego becomes. Your ego no longer is fragmented. Your ego no longer is hiding. Your ego is no longer easily overtaken. Suddenly you are aware of this material now, and your ego feels a lot more invigorated, a lot more hopeful, a lot more expansive, right? Because
so
what
it's
happens
not about getting rid of my ego.
No, this is about
it's
integrating. The more you integrate the material, the more you integrate this unconscious material that's been disconnected, the more invigorated you become. The more the ego starts to feel stronger, have more, and the stronger you feel and the more conscious you are and the more invigorated your ego is, the safer you are. Now
you're feeling healthy. Yes.
Now you're feeling safe. So now you don't need your ego as much, because now you feel safe in your body. Now you feel safe in your world. Now the ego itself is being integrated because it doesn't have so many splinters. Because I know what I needed it for, and this is what I don't need it for. It takes on, it transforms into a new role, because the ego ultimately is just a projection, a piece of the self. The self takes all these pieces back. The self is the original archetype. The self carries all these complexes. They revolve around it. They can't be too far away from it. It will always be able to pull them in at a certain point. The idea of the integration and transformation and the individuation in JAMP is of healing. And the more we heal, the freer we are, the freer we are, the less threatened we feel, the less threatened we feel, the more hopeful we are, the happier we are, the more connected we are, the more likely we're going to be caring, generous, helpful, more integrated, more inclusive.
Which is exactly what our world needs.
And that's the idea of healing, right? What is the idea of healing?
We're always moving towards healing.
Well, we have to. If we're not, then we're moving towards dying, right? We're moving towards perishing. If we're not healing, we're perishing. So, yeah, that's really important. I think for us as individuals in this world, to heal the world is the thing that we need. We don't need more pain and infighting. No. We need healing. And healing has been missing. And I think JAMP adds that component. I think, like the other modalities and other treatments out there, I think JAMP has a huge contribution to make to the treatment. It speeds up what takes 4 to 5 years. I've done this both ways. I've done this through 20 years of watching and working with clients and helping clients. And I've done this in a very fast, speedy way, efficient way through JAMP. It costs a lot less. That's the one thing right off the bat. It is instead of years of insurance companies and payments through pocket and not having an insurance or changing insurance and not knowing if you are covered in my insurance. And anyway, this,
so if people read the book about JAMP, what they're going to understand is the process
of
what healing, an avenue of what it can look like
if they read. How we're trapped, how we're disconnected, how we're trapped in the psychic prison, how we are caught in the maze, how we have this glitch that seems to take us backwards. As we think we move forward, it comes up and it takes us backwards again. And I feel like I'm stuck. And that feeling of being stuck, a feeling of not being able to move forward. And so the resolution of the glitch is a huge thing. And that glitch is whatever is holding you back.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever that idea, that thought, that peace, that philosophy, that mantra, whatever is holding you back. That's the glitch. And that needs to be worked through. And the glitch has an origin. Every glitch has an origin story. And the glitch origin story is There was once upon a time a trauma. That's the glitch's origin story. Once upon a time, a trauma happened to me. That's the origin story of the glitch. And the resolution of the glitch helps us to feel like it happened to me in the past. It's not my present reality. It's not my present world. It's not the mantra. We accuse people of so many different things, Christy, when we are haunted by pain and anger and despair and victimization. We accuse people who are closest to us, our friends, our mentors, people who generally care about us, and we accuse them of things that other people did to us.
And I think that's unconscious until someone brings that.
And it alienates us from them, and then alienates them from us. And we've lost this person. And we don't know how to talk to this person because their thinking is so ingrained in that I've been victimized, that this just keeps happening to me, that this is how I am, and this is how people will treat me, that everybody becomes a suspect. And when everybody's a suspect, then everybody's guilty. And if everybody's guilty, then I have nobody to turn to, nobody to talk to, nobody who's going to be there for me. Because I've alienated them, because I've pushed them away, because I've told them that I don't need you. And it's hurtful. It's hurtful to them. It's hurtful to the people around them, especially the people who care about them. It's hurtful. I mean, I think this is one of the things that we see with JAMP is the hope that we give people a second chance of connecting with people who really genuinely care about them and helping those people see how important these people are in their lives.
Absolutely, because you're removing the fear behind
isolation. Yeah, it's sense. So you grow up in fear and abuse. You're going to see the world in fear and abuse. You're going to be waiting for it behind every door. It's going to be lurking, waiting for you. Behind every touch, every kiss, every hug, every way of talking to you, you're going to be looking for it. It's coming to you. And that's because of the trauma. That's because of the glitch. And that glitch needs to be resolved so you can have a relationship. You could have that connection. You could feel cared for and loved without fear, without loss. You know? I think of every client I've had and every client that I hope eventually got a lot better, but that I didn't think I gave enough to, or they terminated treatment too soon, or whatever. There was some kind of disconnection in the treatment and it didn't go as was planned. I always think about, you know, if I had a faster, more effective, a treatment that could transform a person in a couple of sessions so I can actually start to really work with them. And I think that's what happens with JAMP.
Yeah.
And with the coaches in JAMP. As we use it as a coaching tool, what we've learned is that, you know, people want to heal, people want to transform. It's just the fear. The fear is the biggest obstacle. Wherever we look, the fear is the obstacle. It is the thing that holds us. It is the thing that terrorizes us. It's the thing that keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from... Go on.
Well, as people are starting to hear about the podcast and JAMP and then the book that we have about JAMP, I just want people to be aware that we'll put our website here so they can find a coach as well. We have quite a few coaches.
Yeah. So, yeah, they could go
ask us questions too.
Absolutely. So, send us an email at the Institute for Conflict at gmail.com. Send us you could also go to our website. It's the Institute for Conflict, .com. So you go to that, or you could go to our other website. It's the JAMPTrainingInstitute.com. We also have JAMPUniversity.com. That's going to be our training site for our students and for those who are interested in the classes that we offer. We have an archetypal course. We have several lectures on different psychological and emotional and related issues with the treatment, with JAMP, with Jungian theory, dream interpretation. We talk about the shadow, about the unknown other. We talk about quite a few things. So yeah, we would very much like to welcome people. I think me and you are going to do another archetypal training.
So next year,
sometime next year, yeah, maybe something, yeah. So we're very excited about that. We'll be advertising that soon. We will take that out and pass it around so everybody can take a look at what we're offering. We have our conferences every year, the IFC talks. This coming year, we're hoping to have it in 2023 in Vancouver, British Columbia. And we will have more information on that on our Institute for Conflict .com, www.instituteforconflict.com. That will be on the front. There's a poster for the conference. So yeah, there's a lot of things that we are doing, Christy. We have a lot of coaches on our website. There's a coaches link, a coaches page. Sorry about that. There's a coaches page on both the JAMP Training Institute and the Institute for Conflict. If you want to see who our coaches are, who's certified in JAMP, who's been practicing JAMP. Yeah.
Yes, and we'll be discussing it more in our podcast. Going through the book next time a little bit more.
Yeah, so if you haven't picked up a copy of JAMP and the Resolution of the Glitch by Dr. Lahab El-Samurai and Christy Foster, please do. It is at Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. And it's in a digital version. You could have a hard copy or a paperback. So with that, we want to thank everybody for joining us today, where we shamelessly advertised ourselves and talked about our book. But thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of our listeners and the people who watch us on our YouTube channel. We're also... the IFC's Individuation Podcast is on YouTube. And we have several lectures. Our One Destiny Calls video casts are on there if you're interested. Or you could wait for them to come out on our podcast, which is on Apple and all major podcasts. Okay, with that, thank you so much for joining us for One Destiny Calls. Christy, thank you as always.
Yes, thank you everyone for being with us.
And we will talk to everybody next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of When Destiny Calls. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Christy and Dr. El Samurai. You can also find us on YouTube at the Institute for Conflict. Make sure to also check out the Jammed Training Institute Magician's Call podcast. Tuning in next time to the IFC's When Destiny Calls podcast for another episode soon. The IFC is a not-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast. We do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax-deductible. You can find more info at theinstituteforconflict.com.